I'm muted. I it's so funny because if you watch the start of that stream, you're going to see me look down and make sure this isn't muted. But I guess I need to unmute myself on the actual app, right? That happens way too often. What's up, you guys? I am Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. I will be joined by Alex Pawlowski shortly. It was a great intro. I gave you all so much exclusive news, behind the scenes news, all that stuff. But listen, FightfulSelect.com has plenty of that. We'll tell you more about that throughout this show. Today on The Hump, myself and Jimmy Van talked about WWE Unreal for like 45 minutes. Lots of stuff, including a story that caused quite a stir today. I would say the Twitter post caused more of a stir. But we've got lots to talk about on this show as well. Some things that I didn't think quite made sense on this show. But I mean, still some good wrestling nonetheless. And lots to get into. We have now the man soon to be known as the Puppet Master, Alex Pawlowski. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I don't want to oversell it. I don't want to be like, I'm doing great, Sean, because I'm doing good. I'm also like not doing bad, but I want to tell the people the truth. I'm good.
All right, Alex is doing all right. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If you want to get your questions or statements read on the air, you might say, why in the hell would I want to do that? Well, we got more exclusive news than anywhere else in pro wrestling. It's a good time here, my guys. And we got Antoine saying, MJF, Jungle Boy, and Darby Allin were considered AEW's pillars at one point. Who would you say are the current pillars for AEW? Love Fightful. Keep up the excellent work. In my opinion, the four pillars would be Tony Storm, John Moxley, Hangman Page, and Swerve. And if you wanted to interchange one of those with Ospreay or Mercedes, I wouldn't be mad at that.
I wonder if Moxley could still be said to be that in, let's say, 18 months. I wonder if he starts to wind down his time at the top of the card and just be a face that's around, that's important, but not the most important guy. Because I think that there are people like that. If you say Swerve is on there and Ospreay's not, well, I don't think you could take Swerve off, but you might be able to take Moxley off depending on where this thing goes. Storm's on it, Hangman's on it. Who your other two are, I think, is up to personal preference.
I mean, yeah, a six-year run at the top of the card is a damn good run. And you always know, like, whenever the time comes for him to go back to the top of the card, there's an appropriate situation. You never know what might get like hot. You never know what might get hot.
You never know. Yeah.
Well, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. It means so much to us. FightfulSelect.com has a bunch of news on Fightful or on FightfulSelect.com. Obviously, that's where it is. Details on another TNA contract status. We've had four of those this week. We had details behind Vince McMahon driving like an absolute madman, WWE Unreal, what was set up, what was real, some of the reactions internally from the company. We have select answers Q&A articles every day. Tomorrow, being Thursday, we have Ask Grapsity. So you can get in there and ask our wonderful gentlemen over at Grapsity what they think of anything in wrestling. I'll have some live streams this weekend as well. I'll be in the Discord talking about SummerSlam. You'll get scoops from Media Day. I'm going to have a big SummerSlam scoops thread tomorrow as well. Just $5.99 a month. You can also get that annually. And we've done individual story purchases as well. But let's talk about AEW Dynamite. Sean Doherty, thank you very much for the super chat. Tom LaValle says, stat, talent name, social media. So this is in reference to the Young Bucks defeating the Outrunners. The Outrunners get a full-on entrance, and the Young Bucks get a jobber entrance complete with a nameplate that is not even filled out. It says talent name on it.
Yeah.
I thought that this was a phenomenal approach to the Young Bucks and the people that they have bullied in the company, the production team, among others, sort of getting back at them, Alex.
Yeah, no, I think this is I like this for now. I might not like it in 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll see, you know, like if we got to do something with it. I enjoy what the reactions of the Young Bucks to the disrespect. I think this is all very good now. And then my brain goes to, where does it go from here? What's the real storyline with the Bucks? Because I thought that the storyline with the Bucks was going to be that they are so in their heads about not being in power anymore that they lose to the Outrunners, to a team that the characters of the Young Bucks would absolutely say are way beneath them. What's happened to us? We lost to the Outrunners. Like, this isn't something that would happen to us. They can get upset by that and figure out where they go from there. Them winning this via, you know, their own cheating ways is kind of what they were doing before they lost the EVP titles. So let's figure out, because everyone's like, okay, they lost the EVP titles. This is going to lead to an entire gimmick change. And if it does, it hasn't led to it yet. We will see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
But I thought that the match was well put together. I thought the Outrunners did all of the stuff they were supposed to do really well. The Young Bucks are one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And if you're holding at an actual tag team tournament and they're in there against a team like the Outrunners, they should beat them.
Sure.
Unless it's part of an overall story. And so far, we'll see where it goes from here.
We have Okada and Swerve popping up after the match to further their feud. And I felt, right now, and you can really feel that AEW is missing Ospreay and Omega and Samoa Joe and Takeshita. And even Mercedes hasn't been on the show, but Jay White and OC haven't been on the program. And it felt like Okada and Swerve were kind of minimized here as opposed to doing something out there. But Swerve did at least create a meme. There's that, I guess. He created a meme. I just feel like with these big absences, you should probably highlight these two in a more prominent method.
Yeah. Especially if what we're doing here is Okada's got the 1A title. You know what I mean? Like 1 and 1A. And so if that's the case, and Swerve is one of the top guys in the entire company, and he's coming after it, and Okada's one of the top five wrestlers of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Like if his entire breadth of his career, then you should be spending a lot more of your time building to that match, figuring out ways of doing that, as opposed to like Swerve comes in and saves the Outrunners from Okada, who was just out there to back up the Bucks. It feels like you could do more of that. They're doing a lot with this MJF and Briscoe thing, like a lot. And I feel like you could be doing just as much, if not more so, with Okada and Swerve.
Young Bucks getting the win makes an awful lot of sense. Backstage, they approach FTR, and FTR are like protecting Stokely, which is actually kind of nice. Like they step in front of him and they're like, go away. But they're hesitant around Young Bucks, and they exchange words, and Stokely goes, "You all really aren't EVPs anymore, huh?" Mm-hmm. And then like fakes swinging at him, which was kind of funny. What'd you think of the FTR and Stokely promo where they called out Cope, Hurt Syndicate, Bang Bang Gang, a little bit of everybody, and get interrupted?
I'm gonna have to see some kind of internal office memo as to how Copeland is gonna be fired for touching FTR, who tried to murder him. You know what I mean? That's just not how professional wrestling works. A guy gets assaulted by former friends and has to go away for a few months. When he comes back, he's allowed to beat them up. That's how professional wrestling works. The fact that he's not now, according to Stokely, who I just assumed was lying, but now it's like 3 weeks have gone by and nobody's attempting to suss out a possible lie. That part is funny to me. Meaning funny, it means it smells fishy. But I did enjoy FTR and the Young Bucks. Like, if we meet in the finals of this tournament, may the best team win. Which to me signifies that A, they won't meet in the finals of this tournament, and B, even if they did, it wouldn't be that at all. So I like that there's this, because obviously it's FTR and it's the Bucks. The last time they did a tag team tournament, FTR and the Bucks met in the finals of said tournament. So yes. I feel like that them being on opposite sides of the bracket, winning each of their first round matches, is supposed to us, signify, oh, they're the favorites. They're probably going to meet in the finals. And I think you probably don't want to do that again. So I like that this is throwing a red herring at us.
We got Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover saying, are you surprised Gail Kim hasn't signed anywhere? Yes, I am extremely surprised, unless there's some sort of like non-compete that I'm not aware of, yeah. Which I was told there wasn't. Yes, if I were AEW and or WWE, I'd be bringing her in immediately. Yeah. She should have already been somewhere.
Yeah.
Christian Cage did a promo, went plenty over time, from what I understand.
Hmm.
This was very like plotting, very calculated. Hmm. And it was basically him admitting that he's an asshole, him calling Shayna Wayne loose and saying, I've been stuck in a lot of holes, but none as gaping as the one that I was in with you.
Yeah.
So just a lot of the... Sometimes I'm just like, I watch wrestling, you know, and I, you know, people will say, you would have never survived the Attitude Era. I'm still surprised sometimes. Mm. I'm still surprised.
Yeah.
that this stuff gets said.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about the before we get to any physicality or anything?
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you feel about this?
It was too long. It is set up. The promo is set up to make sure we know that Christian's still a bad guy. That we're not supposed to like him, even if we hate Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian and Mama Wayne as much or more than we hate Christian. He's still not a good dude. And I like that they're still doing that, because he's not. And I think that you've been wanting your Sting and Luger tag team since I've been doing shows with you. And I think we might finally be getting that with Copeland and Christian. As soon as he said, you know, I've been in a lot of holes, I was just like, oh, God. Really? And then they went all the way with it. I thought he was going to do that, get the crowd to groan because they also knew it was coming, and they'd be like, get your minds out of the gutter. And then he'd continue with a perfectly rational use of that, a particular metaphor. But no.
All he had to say was like, I've been in a lot of holes, some more gaping than others. And then that's enough. It's hard to find someone to root for in this situation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that is kind of what we're getting at, is that Christian isn't really redeemable right now. And Copeland is trying to get him to be, but I kind of think it's more interesting that Christian is just a bad person now. It's just that he's Copeland's bad person and he loves him no matter what. Right. That's far more interesting than me going from believing that Christian has been this just really horrible guy to, no, he's just got to find himself.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he can find himself.
No, he can't.
Sean Doherty says, Alex doesn't like anything he hasn't predicted 10 months in advance. It's ruining it for all of us.
Well, I mean, I like my own ideas, but also I actually prefer it when I can't predict what's going to happen, and the thing that they do is something I didn't think of and is great. Like, that's my favorite type of wrestling storytelling, is I can't see it coming and whatever they do is awesome. That's my favorite. Like, so yeah, I can't help myself from predicting what might happen. That's how my brain analyzes things. But no, I don't only like it when those things come true. I just mostly
do. Well, We got a concerto to Christian.
We did. We did.
And I don't know who produced this, who set this up, who planned this, but they really should have not done it from, well, I mean, they tried to shoot it from an angle of which it looked better, but it didn't look good. And honestly, they probably should have just shot it from behind or had Christian face the other way, because it looks even worse from the crowd spots.
Yeah.
But like the camera shot didn't look good. The camera shot didn't look good on the concerto. I want to say this. Yeah. Nick went, but James Stolle says Nick Wayne's been in the gym looking good. He and Kip executed it fine. Like, it's safely. That's how you're supposed to do it, especially to a guy who missed almost a decade from a concussion. Yeah. Like, or several years, maybe like 7 years, not a decade.
Yeah.
But the crowd shots are even worse. The crowd shots look way worse than the camera shot did. They should have had him facing the other way.
Any criticism of this spot is not they should have actually hit him with the chairs. That is not the criticism of this spot. The criticism is that you can shoot it from an angle that makes it not look so obvious that they're not hitting him with the chairs. How, I mean, the fact that he's had to, that it was one of those, it was a standing concerto, which they don't do very often. Usually they do it where they're laying down one and their heads on one chair and then the other thing. But this is the way it used to be because each guy had a chair. That's the way, that's the old Edge and Christian concerto. And I like that they're bringing it back for this particular thing. I agree. They should have just, they could have used it better, but this is a message to Adam Copeland, to the Edgester. Like, we're doing this to your boy. Come back and we're using your old move on him. What are you going to do about it? I think this is some good stuff.
It's like, why isn't Cope at work?
Because he's banned from the building by Stokely Hathaway in canon. I don't know why, but like, I don't know how that works. I don't know how Tony Khan signed off on that.
Fair.
But Stokely Hathaway got him banned from the building, so he can't be there.
Well, buddy, that's something we're going to talk about tonight, is the unusual absence of authority within this show. It's quite odd. Mm. Quite odd. But I'll tell you what isn't odd. Getting the best night's sleep of your life with Helix Sleep. You want to invest in your sleep, and Helix is able to do it. In 2020, I wanted a new mattress, but it was the pandemic, and quite frankly, didn't want to go roll around on a mattress that other people had been rolling around on. It wasn't in the cards for me, but I wanted a new mattress. I wanted to invest in my sleep, because you're spending ideally a third of your life in that bed anyway. So I looked up highest rated mattress reviews, and all signs point to helixsleep.com/fightful. But that wasn't even helixsleep.com/fightful yet. It was just Helix Sleep. But I ordered one of their mattresses. I took their online sleep quiz. I got matched up to the Dusk Lux. I read all the reviews from like GQ, Good Housekeeping, all that stuff. And I got the best sleep I had ever had. I went from sleeping on a slab of memory foam to having this one delivered to my door and sleeping great. They have a 100-night risk-free trial. They have flexible financing options. It's fantastic. With the code FIGHTFUL, you can get a great deal. And again, that risk-free trial. Again, they have very flexible payment plans, but you want to invest in your sleep. 100-night sleep trial, lifetime limited warranty. It's assembled here in the United States, and there's free shipping on all orders. If for some reason you don't like it, and you will, I'm on my second one. I bought one, and then when I moved, I bought another one and gifted the other one. Like, it was a great move. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Forbes, GQ, Good Housekeeping, New York Times, Wired, all praise this lovely mattress. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. World Championship match. Ryan McDonald says, actually, you know what? N. Simmons brings up the tag title tourney first. He says, my hope for the tag tourney is AOG and BBG, mainly because I want them, Ricochet, and Jay White to feud. I think Ricochet and Jay matches could put both over the hump. Imagine both in the finals of the Continental Classic. The Continental Classic is a big question mark for me this year because I think they should make somebody this year. How are you feeling for the tag team title tournament right now?
Well, the one thing I don't want is Bucks and FTR again.
Yes.
As much as
I love those two teams, I'm with
you. Yeah. It looks like either we have those two guys in those two teams in the finals or one of those two teams in the finals. I don't think we're going to get to the point where neither team is in the finals, especially because we have this thing with the Hurt Syndicate. So the way I think it's going to be is I think it's going to be FTR versus Brodito. I think that's because that they've set up this thing with the Hurt Syndicate and FTR now have beef. So like, I think that seems to be at least FTR gets to the finals, if not wins it because of that storyline they've set up. But would I love to see the Bang Bang Gang come out of it, especially with this thing with like Jay White's out for who knows how much longer. Colton Gunn just went down. Like I love Juice so much. I think that Austin Gunn is a really, really dynamic performer. I really feel bad for the Bang Bang Gang. We haven't seen all four of them healthy in like a year. Like I really want to see some gold back on the Bang Bang Gang.
I would also consider having Brody King win the Continental Classic.
Well, yeah, sure. Why not? It's a good idea.
I would do that. We have Hangman Page defeating John Moxley. But before we get into the actual match, Ryan McDonald says, just here for Alex's breakdown of that beautifully shot Mox entrance.
Man, if you're gonna go to these kinds of places, and credit to AEW, they have found fantastic ways. The dueling opera box promos between Toni Storm and Athena, those were great. And then tonight we got a Darby Allin jumping off a balcony, which is like, if you're going to do a show venue like this, you got to find a way for Darby either at least to appear on a balcony like a gargoyle, or in this case, probably preferable, a jump off of one. Very good. And also these old theaters, man, like they're built like 125 years ago, and they have these really cool back, like behind something where you don't even know there's this crazy spiral staircase that goes up 20 floors, because that's how they used to, like, they would go up there and like fix the rigging for all these big sets that would drop and these operas that would perform at these old houses. So there's gotta be some old staircase that winds up its way into the rafters, and I love that they found that and then shot Moxley.
Oh, we'll get there. Come on,
below
come on.
It.
You jump ahead.
Down. Oh, it's so good.
Don't jump ahead too much. We had Hangman Page against John Moxley, and of course they have a fantastic match. I do wish that sometimes John Moxley matches would be contained in the ring. That way, I think it'd be a little bit different. But you had like the Deadeye on the table. You had John Moxley repeatedly getting Hangman in the choke. You had this series of pile drivers, including one on the apron, then back in the ring. Mm-hmm. And do I think the pile driver has been bastardized too much? Yes, absolutely. I do.
Yeah.
But this made for some phenomenal in-ring stuff. I am very frustrated that they promoted this whole nobody's at ringside thing, and then everybody was at ringside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are the authorities in this situation? What will Tony Khan do? Because we have seen Tony Khan in character say to Don Callis, if you get involved in this, you are fired. We have seen Stokely Hathaway apparently just make this rule. We don't know the legitimacy of it regarding Cope. But this was a stipulation. Will it be enforced? I can't bury it until it's not enforced, but I don't have a great amount of confidence that it will be enforced, Alex. And while it was the catalyst for a very cool moment that we'll speak about, am I alone in being frustrated by this? I don't think this needed it. I think a good, clean 1-2-3 would have been sufficient. And you could have done all that after. You could have done all that after. They could have came down late, sure, tried to lay the beat down on him, and then there's Darby.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't mind all the stuff happening match wise around the ring. That's kind of a Moxley staple. And Hangman was willing to dance with him out there. That makes sense. And if you wanted to say, hey, all of you are banned from ringside unless we can make it so the ref can't see. And so our plan is to distract the ref in some way and then have Claudio and Yuta distract the only two security guards at ringside. And then Marina slip in with the belt and I'll hit him with it and we'll win. If that was your plan, fine. But you didn't do anything to affect the plan. The ref bump happened while Hangman had Moxley up for the Deadeye and was spinning around, and Moxley's boots accidentally hit Paul Turner in the face. Like, yes. The idea of like, okay, guys, I'm not going to do anything to affect our plan. But just in case Moxley, just in case Hangman accidentally knocks out the ref, I need you guys to be ready to walk toward the ring. That doesn't make any sense if you think about it for more than 5 seconds. So that's what I didn't like about this, is that you can't do the accidental ref bump that you didn't cause, leading to this master plan you had in the works. I would have just loved if they had just wrestled the damn match. I'm pretty much anti-ref bump across the board. I feel like that is a very old-timey, sticky way of getting to what you need to do. It's only in the most, like, rarest of circumstances where it should be used. We don't need to use it here. I think that Moxley putting him, getting a pile driver on the steps, a pile driver in the apron, and then a Gotch-style pile driver in the middle of the ring, and he can't put the kid away. Like, to like, Jen, don't do the other stuff. Do Moxley losing his mind that he's not going to be able to get his title back. Like, it's not bluster anymore. Maybe this kid is better than I thought he was. Like, you could actually, Mox is a good enough in-ring storyteller to play that part, as opposed to, yeah, here's my friends at ringside again, especially in a match in which they're banned from ringside. I did not enjoy that part.
If I never saw another white t-shirt or turtleneck on AEW programming, it would not be soon enough. Now, we did have a phenomenal...
Let Bryan Danielson get his merch money. Come on, man. Come on.
And by the way, I just want to say, the match was phenomenal. The match was fantastic.
So good. It was so good. And yes, when you brought up the pile driver thing, I think there is a happy medium between one, sure, major company treating it as though if somebody hits you with a pile driver, you're going to die. And the other company being like, I'm going to put three of them on you and you're going to kick out of them. Like, there's, yeah, got to be a happy medium. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I find that within the context of WWE, that happens so rarely. I admire, right, that they treated it like that. And, sure, with it. And if you wanted to go deep, you could say, we don't even train those at the performance center. We don't, sure, even, we don't, yeah, we tell people don't do them out of respect for the industry, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Like, but it's an awful lot of pile drivers, man. Yeah. DNC Digital says Hangman is on his second reign. He's been such a huge part of AEW, being involved in big moments. This shows patience, putting the title on someone. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure Darby was the original plan that they had down whenever that was, but I got a lot of respect for Darby saying to Tony Khan, I want to climb Mount Everest. I don't need this title to feel validated. You can do that. Whatever.
Right.
But Darby, phenomenal use of the venue, and yes, this is something, yes, Alex, you can go back and look at an article on awfulannouncing.com from, like, it's 13 months ago this week, and Bob O'Neill did a thing about a rant I went on a Fightful show, and I listed a number of things that I would do in order to improve the show. And I felt like AEW was in a bit of a lull there.
They were.
I wanted them to consolidate some titles, and on the men's side, they've done that. The FTW title is gone. The Continental title has combined with the International title. Yeah. I wanted them to turn the lights on in the crowd, but listen, there weren't people filling out those crowds, so I understand it. But a part of that was run smaller scale venues and run unique places. Now, when you do one, you can do the other. So that's three of those things. I wanted them to take the show out of the venue or make the venue interactive. That certainly happened. So I'm not taking full credit for the show being good now. But listen, I'm just saying there were some good ideas laid out here. And one of them that brought many of them into focus was this Darby Allin spot, of which you have a small venue, you make the venue part of the character, and because the lights are on in the damn building now,
yes,
you see something, and he dives off this balcony.
Yep.
What a great spot.
Great spot. Fantastic spot. It's the exact right thing to do with him. It fits his character. It was funny how he landed almost entirely on the security and missed Yuta entirely.
Yuta's just like, oh my
Yuta
God.
Bailed. Yuta said, nope, this guy's not landing on me.
You know what's funny? So I hate it when people get missed and they still sell it. I did a dive and the people catching me were my fight team. Like they were members of my fight team. And one of the guys had never done anything pro wrestling before. And I missed him, but I loved what he did. He just looked like he was in disbelief that just happened instead and like got the hell out of Dodge. Like that's all he was supposed to do. Yuta did fine. He was just like, okay, I don't want you to kick me in the face.
Yeah.
I see what you have done. I don't want any parts of this shit. Like I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
We've got James Stallings saying Darby looked like he flew straight from the heavens to the side of the balcony where he jumped off. It was so funny to me. It was very good. It was very good. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Alex, all things considered, even with what we saw tonight, I don't know why this didn't main event.
I can't figure out why you wouldn't main event with it, except for the fact that like you needed Hangman after he had his match to run off MJF at the end of the night because they've set up this... I know I don't agree with any of it. Like the stipulation of you can't have a match with me until you beat Mark Briscoe is the most random thing. Like it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so like we got to have Mark Briscoe in the main event so that when he beats Ricochet, MJF can come out and
look. If you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower. The good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit legally.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Attack him, and then Hangman can run him off. So we can talk about how we're going to do Briscoe and MJF in the main event next week. And I just feel like you got the men's world title match. If you were to say we had to do it like this because there's a 1 hour time limit, And so in case it goes the distance, we wanted to make sure that we could clear out the entire hour. If you say it like that, fine, but they didn't, as far as I know. And then the Women's World Championship is involved in another match. Like, that could have main evented. It's the Women's World Championship, but that didn't main event. Instead, Briscoe versus Ricochet, which is a middle of the first hour Dynamite match. You know?
Yeah, and that's I gotta agree. I gotta agree. And I love Mark Briscoe. I am a big Mark Briscoe guy, but Bobby the Brain sends in a humper chat. Get in your super chats and humper chats. He says, hey, Sean, AWROH NXT question. Any possibility of Cole Carter, a.k.a. Troy Two Dimes Donovan, jumping back to NXT, signed with AEW in July 2022? Could he be a free agent? NXT ended this week on a cliffhanger with Tony D recognizing someone off screen. I mean, he kayfabe died.
Yeah, he was thrown off our bridge. But
I just want to say, based on what we have seen of Cole Carter, it would be the most hilarious character arc of all time to have him be that anticlimactic AEW reveal and then be this anticlimactic NXT reveal as well. Funny. I don't know. Well, I tell you what, NXT stands would absolutely type in all caps. Two Dimes! Oh my God! But like, he was wrestling 3 or 4 days ago with the frat house in Atlanta. And he was on ROH a couple weeks ago. I don't think he is a free agent as of yet. But Louis Veal says, going back to when men were menthols. So, you know what? I'm gonna consolidate all the MJF stuff. Okay. So, Louis, please consolidate that. We got Athena and Billy Starks defeating Tony Storm and Alex Windsor. And listen, they have just shot Alex Windsor out of a cannon.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that it's been good. I think that she is going to deliver at the top levels. I think they should immediately present her as someone that is special. I think they've done a good job of that. I'm all for Athena getting more TV time. I'm completely on board with that. I am all for her picking up a win here. Alex, how'd you feel about this tag team match? And I like the blue gear on Tony too.
Yeah, me too. I love this. I love this tag match. I think Mrs. Bruv, Alex Windsor, is quickly becoming one of my favorite women's wrestlers. That match she had with Athena on Saturday was awesome, brutal in all the best ways. Showing off the bruise on the inside of her forearm from all the lariats she was laying into Athena's chin. That was friggin' awesome. They were beating the hell out of each other and brought that right back to the foreground tonight in this match. Athena is on an absolutely different level. The question that never got an answer all those years ago, how does Ember Moon fit into all this? It turns out she fits in a different company, being one of the best women's wrestlers on the planet. I thought she had this in her when I was talking about her all those years ago. And it turns out she does. And she's brilliant. And Billy Starks is going to get, it's stupid how good Billy Starks is at this young age. She's going to get better and better and better and better. And Tony Storm is Tony Storm. What more can you say about how great she is? This was a fantastic tag match. And the setting up the O face as something where if Athena hits Tony with it, Tony's done. And it's not the go home. So there's not really wrestling math here. I don't love the champ being pinned, but it's far enough away. It's almost a month out, 3 weeks away from Forbidden Door. Like, I don't know when they're actually going to do this match, but something tells me they're actually going to do the match and not Money in the Bank it. I think MJF is more in danger of doing that, and maybe Athena actually cashes in her contract at some point instead of doing that. But I think that it really, it should I want to see now the Tony Storm promo referencing how, well, if you get me with that, then I'll be on my back for sure and not in the fun way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like she'll, there's something we can do.
This begs the question, why did Athena not execute the contract immediately?
That's, like, I need specific, like, execute the contract means, like, money in the bank, like, you bring down a referee, sign it, and then you can pin them. Or yes. Does it mean you have to give them 5 minutes to catch their breath? What's the deal with the contract? Like,
Even okay if it changes from year to year, like Tony said. Because sure. Tony said, well, you know, 1 year it was a cash in, the other year it was you declare. I'm good if it changes year to year. That's fine. That can be AEW's different approach to it. Right. Like, I am completely fine with that. However, I do need an answer as to, like, why would she have not done that? And I saw somebody say, well, Alex would have helped her. Well, it's a good thing that Athena has a perfectly good Billy Starks there, and Billy Starks just threw her into a barricade.
Yeah, they laid out Alex. She would not have been able to help. She's also really tired from this. Really, she took a beating in this match. Athena just hit her non-kickoutable finisher on her. Sign the contract now. Why are you talking trash to her? You have your minion at ringside who can help you further soften her up. I don't understand if the thing is cash-inable, the way that the money in the bank is, her not doing it now doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, her yelling at her, like, I'll do this on my own time. Why is your own time not now?
Yeah, that is your own time.
I mean, okay.
Love for Boost says Tony and Windsor are such a fun team. I want more. LaRon Ford says, hey guys, what's up with the lack of women on Dynamite and Collision during this residency? Like, is the residency even 6 years?
We got to see some stuff on Collision with the six woman utilizing the new trio they've got there. Didn't we have like an eight woman at some point recently? Yes. They've utilized the same women, which I feel like is part of it. But I think that there's I'm very excited about where this Queen Aminata, Megan Bain, and the Triangle of Madness thing is going. I think that there's a lot of fun to be had there. Stat and Willow seem to still be, like, you know, circling each other. There's a lot of stuff going on. I think that they've done a fairly good job coming out of All In with a lot of women's stories being juggled.
I will ask Luis to please put that back because I was not done reading it. But LaRon also said, will they sign some more talent so we can finally do tag team titles? And says, is it too much to ask for 4 non-squash matches a week plus backstage segments for the women? Like, even if they did a squash match and a match, I would be like, okay, there are fewer women in the company. I mean, I will say this, WWE, especially on Raw, has been doing a phenomenal job, like, with the giving women time on that show. But as far as needing to sign women, I don't think they need to sign women. They got to get women healthy. Tony Khan spoke with Iridian, our Collision post show host, today, and said, man, the All In gauntlet, like, kind of screwed us right now. They just brought over Shiri. She got hurt. Mm-hmm. Thunder Rosa got hurt. Ruby's on maternity leave. Riho and Sheeta, last we heard, had injury time or had visa issues. You've got
Mina, you know, got hurt.
There's a lot of them. But also, there are people, like, they don't need to sign anybody, Alex. There's people they can pull off the bench.
Yeah.
Camille is sitting at home. Mercedes Martinez is sitting at home. Yeah. If you want to put Madison Rayne in a team with literally some other TNA veteran, cool. That's a team. Like, Britt Baker and Deonna Purrazzo. Sure. Put them together in a team. What's Serena Deeb doing? What are all these people doing that you can't put them in?
Diamante is also a great shout, too.
Yeah, she just came back. Yeah. Yep. I think that they've got plenty of people to do a team or tag team, and I wish they would. Mm-hmm. Eloquent says, when are they going to build Forbidden Door? Well, the issue with that is they have the G1 going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sucks for them. But yeah. I would imagine there's going to be more like CMLL influence there as yes. well. Obviously, Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be involved in something very big there. They gotta. Mm-hmm. Gabe Kidd, they're going to hope that he's healthy. They've put, they've got some UK talent there, but I'm honestly right now, I am not excited for Forbidden Door. Chiwa says, Billy Starks needs a year in Stardom. I think she's fine where she is, learning from who she's learning from. I don't think that she needs a year in Stardom. I think she's just a young wrestler who is getting her reps in. She's learning a lot of stuff. She's doing that, but like, she spent time in Japan. Like she has, she did a couple little runs over there. She did a couple matches in 2022. She did, she faced Miyu Yamashita. I want to say was it last week she was in Japan? Yeah, she was in Japan last week. Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
We have JP saying AEW commentary does this weird thing where they're only call it a super kick for certain wrestlers. The Bucks always call it a super kick. They should start calling it a thrust kick to make it a one more thing from them. There are certain moves that like you tell that announcers love calling. And one of them is like a Kamangiri from exactly. I say that and you smile. And Michael Cole, you just know that as soon as he saw it, he's always like, step up, Enziguri. I know that one. Like
everything step up. Everything to step up. Every Enziguri is a one that steps up.
A step up Enziguri. And I'm like, they're just regular Enziguris. When you catch the foot and all that stuff, it's just an Enziguri.
Yep.
We have a Willow Nightingale interview where she says that she's going to rip all 8 of Tekla's legs off. We're setting that up for tomorrow. That is a good match.
Yes. I'm here for it.
I like that. Anthony Pride says, what about Nyla Rosa against Megan Bain? I would like that too, but I would like even more Harley Cameron and Nyla Rose teaming up.
Yes. That's a fantastic. Like, I like how, Harley Cameron is like the unofficial third member of Ty J. However, Harley Cameron and Nyla Rose is comedy gold waiting to happen. So we can figure out a way to get that done too.
Well, I'll tell you, that, by the way, Willow called herself the trapezoid of Grapezoid.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what that means at all.
No. But I mean, as opposed to the triangle of madness, she herself is a shape. And it's not of madness. She's the trapezoid of Grapezoid.
Well, I prefer shapeshifters, Alex. And that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful is. It's going to allow you to mold the pay-per-view experience to your own. Maybe you want to buy that Forbidden Door show in about a month, but you don't want to spend as much as we pay here in the U.S. Here's good news. NordVPN, multi-year deal plus 4 extra free months, 30-day money-back guarantee, and the ability – they're giving you more money back, by the way. Amazon gift cards. Find out more at NordVPN.com/Fightful because you download the app, you change your virtual location, you pay the prices they're paying overseas. And it's going to be even better because it's going to be an afternoon show probably because it's in the U.K., hell yeah. Mm-hmm. You can listen to your favorites abroad. So maybe you're traveling over there for the show. You don't want to miss your shows. Maybe you're traveling to some of these other AEW pay-per-views. There's some traveling I got to do this fall. And I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, well, how am I going to watch Bengals games? I don't have I don't have the Red Zone or season pass, whatever it's called. But I can just do what Denise's husband told me to do. Change my virtual location to my local area and watch the games. You can also shield your data from snoops and criminals on that public Wi-Fi, whether it be the event venue, the hotel, the airport. So I'm going to have my NordVPN locked down on all my devices, my phone, my Surface Pro, all that good stuff this weekend. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Again, works on all your operating systems, all your devices. It's going to save you money. If you are a wrestling fan, you're going to want this. It's going to pay for itself in 1 month. It's just like a couple bucks a month. Pretty good deal. Allie Albright asked if I own a brush. Let me see. Do I have a brush? I don't. I got a comb. My hair's just messy, man. That's just, yeah. Just, it's just rough, guys. Mm-hmm. It's just rough. You should nod more, Alex. Do you like NordVPN.com/Fightful? You look like one of the hosts of The Bump when they did interviews.
Yes. I need the brick. I need the bricks behind me for that, though.
You do. You do. They did steal that.
They stole my bricks.
Oh, man. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. James Stalling says, Nick and Stark's getting much more TV time. They're only getting better. So much potential. They are exactly where they are supposed to be. Yeah, they're coming along. They're coming along. Yeah. I agree with you, James. So MJF speaks with Shelton, tries to present him with a watch, but Shelton knows his watches, and he says, this is Timu. Mm-hmm. Throws the watch down, and it breaks, and mm-hmm. he's like, you know what? You'd get your ass whipped a long time ago if it wasn't for MVP, but as far as I'm concerned, you're out. Now, I do want to make this clear. Commentary said, well, that's 2 out of 3 thumbs downs. So they indicated on commentary that it has to be 3 thumbs up in, maybe 3 thumbs ups out. What do you make of what we saw? Because neither MVP or Lashley were there because of MJF.
Yeah, the way that Shelton said is like MVP is not here, but he's disgusted with what you tried to pull last week. So I feel like if MVP told Shelton Benjamin that, that's basically a thumbs down. The idea, what MJF said was like, I really want to apologize for the way Bob acted last week. And it's like, but that's okay. We can move on without him. As though MJF was under the impression that Bobby Lashley had quit the Hurt Syndicate rather than stay in it with MJF. And Shelton's like, yeah, no, you're the one who's out. And I feel like Shelton can be right, and we don't need to do this anymore. Because I not only do I think that it's right for them to be like, we're not your... I also love that he was like, because the watch is not the one that MJF tried to give Shelton tonight. The watch is the one that he gave Lashley months ago. And Shelton was like, do you have the time? No, I don't have my watch. I gave it to Bob. I know you did. This is it. He gave it to me. I know my watches, and this is a fake. From the time you tried to bribe your way in with a Timu watch, we knew where you were coming from. We knew what your game was. We were just trying to suss you out. So, like, I love that they said, like, from the beginning, we were onto you. So, like, this has all been a ruse the entire time. We were just waiting to see how strong you were going to play your losing hand. Like, I love that Shelton was cerebral about it. I think that the other reason why this is a good thing is because MJF should not have anybody who can help him out against Briscoe, and then if he beats Briscoe, against Hangman. He should be on his own. Like, and MJF figuring out a way to, if I beat Briscoe, I get a match without having to cash in the contract versus Hangman Page. If Hangman Page beats me, I'm just going to cash in my contract. Like, I feel like that's a way that he can try and be smart in that way. If he's got some guys who can run interference for him or beat people up, then that's not, I don't think, the story that they're working with MJF. I think it's really important for his character arc that he doesn't have the Hurt Syndicate backing him up right now.
Could this really be, if this is really it, there's no way that was the plan.
I don't think so.
And if it was, it was a bad plan.
Right. No, I don't think that was the original plan. I think that there is probably, once they decided, okay, this is what we're doing with MJF. We're having MJF win the contract. He's doing this thing with Briscoe. He's doing something in CMLL with Místico. And he's coming after Hangman. Once that became the thing, then, well, if we're doing all that with Max, then we can't have the Hurt Syndicate as his backup. Because that's not that story. And the Hurt Syndicate can't be his backup because the Hurt Syndicate have got to be tag champs at some point, right? So I think it's a smart play. If it was an audible, I think they called the right play as that audible.
Cody says, we're getting an MJF Mystico rematch. Seems like MJF has several other programs going on, and the Mystico feud has been dropped. Luis notes that MJF is facing Averno this week for the CMLL World Light Heavyweight title. He expects him to win that and Mystico to challenge him for September 19th. Anthony says, great wrestling, but weirdly booked show. I thought they were going to build towards MJF getting the boot from Hurt Syndicate, but Shelton just kicked him out.
I see some chatter that this is a work.
Yeah, where they're like doing this to
as a
feed up, like, yeah, like Hangman and all that.
Yeah, that like they're making Hangman think that he doesn't have the Hurt Syndicate, sure. But he really does, you know.
Because they've not whipped his ass or anything like that. So I can see that.
Yeah.
Definitely could see that. Sean Doherty says Tony Schiavone is wrong 99.9% of the time, still employed solely for name recognition. Come on, TK. I mean, he hated on you and now.
Jeez.
I love this guy.
This guy rules. Oh my God. When you say wrong 99% of the time, what do you mean by that? What is he wrong about?
Not like wrong how? Wrong is that he doesn't. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Dave Cost, this dude sent so many super chats today on the hump. We appreciate you. He says, fellas, if you put your ears to the wall, listen real closely. You can hear the faint noise of Christian still talking. That seg stunk. Decent show. Great to see tag team wrestling on AEW of late. It lasted a long time. I don't think you need segments like that.
No.
That long.
Yeah.
And Dave, I don't know if you were here earlier. We did speak about that, but yeah. Mm-hmm. MJF also confronts Hangman, but Meet Normus says, here's a small sack of monies for puppets and or a burn notice review. Is Cedric Alexander replacing MJF in the syndicate? I don't know. I don't think so. As things stand, I don't think so.
Was it a one-off in TNA between him and Mustafa? It might have been. I don't know.
He was under contract. That's the thing. I haven't been told he was.
What I'm saying is, like, I don't know if he's under contract, paper appearance. But if it was a paper appearance and now he's done, that was a one-off thing. Yeah. And I feel like they probably built it to something else.
When I asked people, they said they hadn't heard of him signing a contract. So it's possible. Mm-hmm. Did we get asked about a burn notice thing, like for any canon reason?
No, just Meet Normus keeps saying, because okay. Kate,
I love burn notice.
Kate hates burn notice. And so Meet Normus she just does. I don't know. She does. I don't get it. I don't care either way. I've never seen an episode. It seems to me.
Never
seen an episode.
It was one after Raw.
I know. I turned off the TV, changed the channel, turned off the TV for whatever reason. Like, well, for a long time, I've been doing reviews after Raw. So, like, you know, I don't know how long it's been off the air.
The show was over before you did that.
Okay, fine. It seemed to me to be a fairly innocuous USA drama.
Yeah, and most of their Blue Skies shows. Yeah.
Most of those I did not watch. So I don't care either way, but she hates it. So Meet Normus continues to goad her into doing a review of Burn Notice.
It is a very harmless show. Like I've mentioned this before. Like I didn't watch TV for a long time. I watched sports, South Park, and like wrestling, and that was it. Yeah. And I caught Burn Notice on after Raw, and I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And to me, it was one of the most interesting shows ever because I had never really watched TV. But it's inoffensive. But then I was like, okay, this is very much a monster of the week type of show. It's like one of those shows that's 10 minutes to the central plot. The rest of it is to a side mission. Every year he ends up getting a new person he answers to. It's funny because it was my favorite show for a while and I gave up on the last season. And then during the pandemic, I rewatched it and I got to the last season and the last season was the best season. Wow. I was like, what the hell? Like after I gave up on it. We have Mark Briscoe interview interrupted by Ricochet in the Gates of Agony, and then they have a match. And again, it is a very good match that saw Brodito laying out the Gates of Agony. I would not have had Ricochet's finish kicked out of this early into him doing it. I like that finish an awful lot, and I wouldn't have done that. Other than that, I loved the match. Let's talk about what happened before the promo.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that match an awful lot.
Match is good. I mean, I think that Mark Briscoe is perhaps like the most used wrestler on the roster over the past four or 5 months. He's on all the time. Like sometimes he's got a match on Collision and a match on Dynamite some weeks. He's all the time. Like when we already saw a pretty great Ricochet versus Mark Briscoe match. It was an ambulance match in which Mark Briscoe was placed in the ambulance and lost the match. He looked like he was bleeding to death. He came back 20 minutes later to help during the main event. He's not the Sussex County chicken. He's a Sussex County cockroach. You cannot kill this guy. He's just here. He won't go away. I feel like him being around as much as he has makes it hard to watch this part of it because he feels like he's just been ubiquitous all the time. And now that he's in an important feud, I feel like I've kind of grown tired of his constant presence when there are so many people on this roster who are great and aren't on TV, that I feel like him having the main event, especially this week, over the men's championship match and the women's world champion in another important match, he gets the main event slot this week. And then they, after this, make a main event for next week that he's in. There are very few people who aren't the world champion that should be in two main events 2 weeks in a row.
Sure.
I mean, that's just my own personal thing. I thought the match was very, very good. I love Ricochet and Gates of Agony together. I want to see them pushed as a thing like more toward the top than they are right now. But I understand that Mark Briscoe's got to get this win if we're setting him up to have this match versus MJF as part of the MJF and Hangman story. I just feel like he's just been constantly on TV, which to me, I'll get tired of almost anybody if they're constantly on TV.
Oh man. I mean, the match is good. I just feel like Mox and Hangman should have been the main event. Like you didn't necessarily need Hangman here.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't know. N. Simmons is very weird end of the show. I don't think Briscoe should have won. Ricochet's first year is reminding Swerve when he kept losing to Darby, when I thought someone else could have been in this losing position. Yeah, but you do also want somebody that you believe could beat Mark Briscoe as well, because you don't want every match to be a throwaway. Now, with Mark Briscoe, he cut this promo, and I actually liked it. At first, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? But then he said, I know my brother's in heaven, and I could kill you, and I know that I'd go to heaven if I repented, but I wouldn't feel bad about killing you, so I wouldn't go to heaven at all.
Right.
I thought that was a good approach.
This is also the exact style of Mark Briscoe that I was requesting a few weeks ago. He's now become serious, gonna kick your ass, Mark Briscoe, which is the kind of guy we're gonna need if he's gonna be out of like the conglomeration mid-card. If he's gonna be up here in the main, I'm really excited that they're making him like a more of a serious character. But I also loved MJF's response. Just because you're acting more serious doesn't mean I've got to take you seriously. I think that that's a perfect response from MJF about this as well.
Yeah, he was very much like, I mean, it seems like you've dropped this act, but I felt like MJF played this perfectly. It's he encouraged him for so long, like, stop doing this. And then when he did, he's like, yeah, well, it doesn't really matter anyway.
He just moves the goalposts.
I still don't take you seriously whatsoever, he said. Yeah. We've got Sean Doherty saying even a broken clock is right twice in a 2-hour show. This dude is incredible. This dude is fantastic. Arduit says, seconding burn notice review, Bruce Campbell is a national treasure. Bruce Campbell was phenomenal in that show. Hmm. Phenomenal. It was, the show is basically MacGyver on USA. It was very much like that.
Yeah,
very much. B Ninja says, of all the unused women you mentioned earlier, the biggest crime is Trisha Dora. She's another one that needs to be used more. Yeah, I mean, I do like her with the infantry, but I absolutely agree with that. Trisha Dora is fantastic. She has long been somebody that I thought should be used more and better. Mm-hmm. But Alex, any prevailing thoughts from this show?
I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff you can do with this MJF Briscoe Hangman thing, because Hangman saying MJF's got to beat Mark Briscoe to prove something to him, like that part of this particular build is interesting, because let's say he doesn't beat Mark Briscoe, he's still got the contract. Like, there's something interesting there as well. Like, I fully expect him to beat Mark Briscoe. But if he doesn't, that's just going to piss him off more and force him to use the contract the way he has sworn he would not. Like, but he wants to be that champion. He needs to be that champion. So maybe he does it because he can't earn his way to it. There's a lot of options that they've given us. I think all of them are good, and I'm excited to see which one they choose coming out of this particular storyline.
I want to thank our moderator, Luis. I am off to New York, New Jersey tomorrow. I will be back on Friday. I'll be back here to review WWE SummerSlam. I'm also likely going to do a live stream or two on Fightful Select this weekend, as it kind of messes up our Q&A schedule, all that good stuff. But FightfulSelect.com is a great service, $5.99 a month. We're going to have betting tips. I'm going to have a bunch of SummerSlam news. We're going to have more TNA contract news. Go to the place, the source that reports a huge portion of exclusive news. Check out Fightful Espanol. But Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
You can find me over on all the social media at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Fightful Select reviewing Raw on Mondays and SmackDown on Fridays, usually, because those are the nights the shows air. And then on Tuesdays on this particular YouTube channel, you can find me and Kate reviewing NXT. We try and have as much fun as possible. That's our motto.
Soon with puppets.
Soon with puppets. Just,
Twitter is a punk for banning Fightful Espanol. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Until next time, my friends, we're out.